Hello and welcome to yet another cool episode of the British Tech Network's Mac Show, the Mac Show. Here on what is today actually? The 4th of November 2022. Today's a little bit of a smaller panel, but that doesn't mean it's like we packed more awesomeness into a smaller panel. That's how it works, right? More people means less awesome. Well, per person, something like that. No, I have with me the man itself, the awesomest person in the world, because he's the only one here on the show, Chuck Joyner.
Wait,
Isn't
wait a
that how it
minute.
works?
I didn't realize that it came down to that. If I just show up, I'm that awesome. But okay, whatever works, Patrice.
Yeah. I mean, you were here almost an hour early, so like that is dedication.
Well, it wasn't dedication. It was me not realizing that the European time change had occurred and the US one hasn't yet. So
Nobody knows that. You just
no,
showed
I've
up because you were so excited for the show.
Now, tr full transparency, you know, it's just it's I think it's one of the reasons that we all dislike. I can't figure out, we all dislike the time change and yet we continue to do it. It just makes me crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we should be over this. We should be so over this. I think Mexico might be one of the first countries, like entire country. Oh, actually no, they didn't even stop it entirely. There's still a couple of states in Mexico, like towards the US border, that didn't do it, probably because of the US. I don't know. Yeah, but we should be there already. Like, I mean, we've talked about this for the last, I don't know how long, 70 years probably, since it was
Yeah,
introduced.
I know it's and look, there's some good reasons for it, but you know, I think the objective information out there, they were talking about it this morning on the TV news, you know, that there are more heart attacks after the time changes, there are more car crashes after the time changes, there are a lot of objective reasons not to do it, you know, just to learn to live with it. But Mulver in the chat room is saying, done here for school kids to go to school in the light. Yeah, same thing here. And I get that. So I guess it just,
Just send the kids to school an hour later and everything is fine. Like, where's
yeah,
the problem?
I mean, I don't want to be too flip about it, but you know, give them flashlights or something.
Hey, I'm
You
kidding.
know, yeah, well, yeah, and that's it. You know, so there's some good reasons and there's some costs associated with it. And I think I just defined life.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I read that like someone did the math or did some kind of study. They figured out that even the energy savings aren't actually there. Like the one of the original reasonings to do it was, oh, we can save some well, I think gas at that point, and some energy in general. So we should do that. And it turns out like it's not making a dent at all.
But hey, it's one of those things that, you know, we can grouse around about like we do the weather, but you can't do anything about it because the powers that be won't let you. So, you know, you just
Yeah.
live with it and move on.
I mean, it's not that we couldn't do anything about it. We just decided not to, as a society mostly. Or let's say, maybe not even as a society, but as you said, the powers to be.
Yeah, nobody asked for my vote, so I don't know, not sure society, but whatever.
Yeah, if you, I think if you, like across the board, if you ask people, most people say yes. Let's abandon that. And there are some good examples, like in the US, I know, like Hawaii and Arizona, for example, who are not and haven't been doing it for forever. And
Right.
what happened? Nothing. Still fine.
It's just that it's even more confusing to schedule calls or meetings
Yes.
with people in those states than it already was, but
Yeah, I
you
mean,
know.
as someone who has lived in Arizona, it was always fun. Like, it was like, okay, times change. So now all my meetings are an hour earlier. Cool. So it's 5:30 now in the morning instead of 6:30. Yeah, that's how it works.
That's not going to quite play real well. Oh
Yeah.
well.
So we have a couple of things we can talk about today. At first, I thought there was nothing happening, and then I found so many small stories. There's nothing big happening in on Apple's side right now. I think that just happened the last couple of weeks with all the new product announcements and so on. But Amazon has something that I thought, yeah, Since Apple boasted about having a gazillion songs on Apple Music right now, Amazon joined in and basically said, hey, we have 100 million songs now that any Prime subscriber can access, with a little asterisk next to it, right? Because you can only join that, and you can only enjoy them on shuffle. So you're paying for something, and then you can only enjoy it on shuffle.
And I think it's an interesting move on Amazon's part, and I have not had a chance to play with it yet, mm-hmm. but I guess it depends on what kind of listener you are, and I don't know exactly how good their curation is. Because, you know, okay, so you have 100 million songs, well, you're going to want to narrow it down to genre or something. But I guess I feel like I'm a much more intentional listener. You know, I seldom now, I've been playing with some of the Apple Music's, stations just for mm-hmm. me. And I have to admit that I feel like they've gotten better than probably a year ago, which was about the last time I tried them. So I feel like it's better. There's still things in there that's like, no, that shouldn't be here. And, you know, you advance past. So I'm anxious mm-hmm. to see how this works for those people out there that are more casual listeners. I guess that's the best word for it. You know, if you just want music as wallpaper in the background, hey, this may be fine for you. But, you know, if you decide that you really want to listen to, something specific, then this is, mm-hmm. I mean, how much are you willing to compromise on that is what it amounts to.
Yeah. I mean, it's, as you said, if it's the wallpaper in the background, it's fine. And I mean, you're already paying for it. And let's face it, most, I would say 99.9% of people probably pay for Prime because of the Amazon perks, like the free shipping and stuff, Prime Day, all of that. And I think very few people actually pay for like the streaming service, either video or audio, because there's better services out there simply. Like whether it's Apple Music or Spotify, like doesn't matter, but those I think are the more popular ones right now. I don't know actually it's hard to tell because I mean Amazon obviously says, well, we have X million billion of Prime subscribers, every one of them gets access to Amazon Music, so Amazon Music is the most popular service in the world, right? Just because you get access to it even if you don't use it.
You said something interesting there, because I'm a Prime subscriber. Mm-hmm. My primary reason, there are two Primes in that sentence, my primary reason for being a Prime subscriber is for the delivery.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this very quickly, that I've been sort of surprised that at Amazon Prime Video, there's some pretty high profile stories on there. Shows on there, but also if I just, which this almost never happens, but if I just decide to, sit down and I don't know what I want to watch and I just want to watch something, I can usually find something on Prime that, will occupy me or will mm-hmm. interest me. It won't be like video wallpaper. It'll be something I really want to watch.
There's been some good content like in recent years. It's not like Apple or HBO or like even Netflix. It's not on that level, but they've had some interesting shows and some, I would say, somewhat successful shows. Like something's happening with my camera. What was it? Man in the High Castle, I think, was one. Recently, is it called? Rings of Power. The Lord of the Rings show.
Yep. Rings of Power, The Boys.
Yeah. The Boys, yeah. There's a couple shows that have been, let's say, successful enough. I mean, successful enough that people would be talking about them. Like, not the big blockbuster, right. But like I think, good enough. I mean, I heard so much about the Rings of Power, like people complaining about it. I'm like, well, that means you're watching it.
that's a pretty pathetic measure, but you're absolutely right.
But I mean, sometimes that's what it takes. I mean, there is that old saying that like any like any publicity is good publicity, right? So, I mean, at least we know that Prime is a thing and that they have content.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're a Prime subscriber, you know, right now, I would tell you go and explore it a bit, because I think you might be pleasantly surprised. If you're not a Prime subscriber, well, maybe you want to try, you know, one of the trials pieces. I can't say it, trial subscriptions, or, you know, try it for a month or so and see. But it's everybody wants to talk about Netflix and Apple TV. And certainly, you know, Apple TV is always something we talk about. But I feel like Prime Video doesn't quite get the respect maybe that it deserves in a world where everybody's competing for more, you know, more content, more subscribers, more whatever. This is one where you're not just, I mean, I know it's a high subscription price, but you're getting a lot more than just that. Here we are. Yeah. And here we are talking about the streaming music option, which may not be for me, but that doesn't mean it might not be for you or somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, as you said, I just thought of another show that was, I think, at least for some, or it's like a certain group of people, quite successful, and that was The Grand Tour. The Grand Tour was the crap, what is it called? The BBC car show. This basically what is it called? Top Gear. It was basically the people from Top Gear when they left like BBC because of some scandals. They like Amazon basically bought them or bought their rights and produced a Top Gear like show. Yeah, thank you, Bob Beach. He's also saying Top Gear. Like a Top Gear like show, but on Amazon, where they would have all those adventures and travel around the world and like make fun of cars and all of that. And it was quite a nice show and quite a successful show, like for Amazon, I would say. So yeah, it's not that they haven't had anything that you would say, well, there's no content in there. It's just, it's not measuring up, but maybe it doesn't have to. Like for Amazon, maybe their ambitions are different.
Yeah. I would throw in Reacher too.
I enjoyed Reacher. I forgot about that.
You know, well, see, that's, you know, that's the funny thing here about this discussion is it's so easy to forget it.
You know the show, but you don't know what network they're on or what service they're on.
Yeah, and not just that, but I mean, I think we could almost say the same thing about Apple TV, although for some reason, and maybe it's because of our particular biases, we remember Severance as an Apple TV show.
Yeah.
We remember Foundation as an Apple TV show. So that may be some kudos to the Apple marketing team, or it may be, you know, hey, Amazon Prime, you better get off your backsides and, you know, market these better as a benefit for your customers. Yeah. So, and The Rings of Power, I honestly haven't watched that yet. But from what I understand, and if I remember the promos correctly or the publicity, it's supposed to be the most expensive series ever made. And yet,
I can totally believe that.
Really? Okay, see, I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Lord of the Rings in general, like the entire franchise is very heavy on CGI. Like, I mean, half of the characters are more or less CGI. So that totally makes sense that a show like that would like need a lot of CGI and thus be very, very expensive. Yeah. So yeah, but it's I mean, you can think about it what you want, but I heard the hardcore fans didn't like it very much. I enjoyed it. It wasn't the best show of ever. I mean, it was the first season. Like that. Also, let's be fair. Like, you know, first seasons can be hit and miss sometimes. Like the show is still figuring things out and you see that sometimes. I mean, just look at Star Trek. Like with some exceptions.
You were reading my mind. You know, it seems like no matter any show that seems to be a spinoff or a take on something, you know, the hardcore fans of that show, the original show or original series or whatever, you know, trash it. And it takes a little while for people to, if the studios will back it long enough, it finds its own fans and converts some other fans to it. Yeah. But, you know, just because it isn't pure in whatever that means, you know, people get really upset. Bob Beach in the chat room says Prime Video has much better content than Netflix. That's quite a statement.
That's quite Bob a Beach. Statement.
That's, you know.
I mean, To be fair, I don't know too, like I don't know too much like what Netflix has even content wise these days. I think the Squid Game that they basically bought is probably the only thing that I remember in like recent years that they have released. Like big, like I know they do a lot of content, but anything that stuck out.
Wasn't that was Stranger Things Netflix?
Could be, yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm on it. See, but that's exactly the problem. We don't even know in which service is what. Like sometimes it's like it's getting to that point. So yeah, as I said, I mean, we'll see what Amazon does. There was like a related. It was Netflix. Bobby just saying so.
Yeah,
thank
it
you.
Was, yeah.
See, we have our trusty chat room to confirm things for us. There is a related change that I wanted to talk about on the Apple side. So we talked about Amazon. There was a change to the, or there is a change coming. I think it's being tested to the TV app. I wouldn't call it a redesign of the app. They just changed the top section where you had like a background image from a show, and then you had the up next, like your next episodes or shows to watch. And Apple changed that. Or is trying a change. I've seen it. I don't know if you have, where they basically, they do the same thing that Netflix and everybody else is doing. Like they have a featured show up there. Like I think every streaming service is doing that now. Like Paramount, I remember, they do that. And it seems to have upset quite a few people on Twitter, at least. I mean, maybe that's just Twitter. Who knows? But I don't know, what was your, like, when you saw that, what was your initial impression?
Okay, to be fair, I did not see it. Okay.
Oh, okay.
But I heard Ken Ray talk about it on this morning's Mac OS Ken.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, it was got the up next thing was gone and then it came back. So apparently it's back. I don't know. I haven't looked. Bobby says it upset him. You know, if the up next feature was, and I don't, frankly, I never really paid that much attention to it because, mm-hmm. again, I'm intentional about what I want to watch, not what they're trying to tell me to watch. So I can't get too worried about it. But if it was, if I set things up in a queue and that's the way it was feeding it to me, then, you know, that's great.
Yeah, I'm for the people listening, I'm just showing it on my iPad. So
yeah,
initially it was that way that basically you only had the video in full screen. Like it's playing a video for like a show and you can swipe through and you get like different shows. So it's a typical thing that everybody does. And initially it was only showing that video, and up next you basically had to scroll down. Oh no, my camera's gone again. You had to scroll down to get to your up next, which I totally get. That kind of hid away a feature that I think most people relied on. And it changed now. So you can see your up next now. And I think that's a better approach. I understand what Apple is going for. Apple has a problem exposing interesting content to people. Like, I mean, try finding a new Apple show on this on the old screen. Like whenever Ted Lasso or Foundation or Severance, there was a new show or there was a new episode and you didn't have it in Up Next. Like maybe it just came out and people were talking about it and you're like, okay, where is Apple TV Plus? Where do I have to go to find this show? And you couldn't find it. You had to scroll down quite a bit to even get to the Apple TV Plus section to maybe see it there. And I think this hopefully fixes that. And it's not just Apple TV Plus content. So that's the important part. It's not that Apple is promoting its own content. Like I see things from other content providers, from other streaming services that I have. So I don't know how it works exactly, but it's definitely not just Apple TV stuff.
So let's step back for a second and think about what every streaming service, not just Apple TV, but every streaming service wants.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to keep watching. And so they're going to do their best to put things on there to help keep you there in their service. And
true.
That's where, you know, we get into, because Bob Beach is doing a great job of trying to explain how it works in the chat room. And I, you know, I would say to Bob, and I'd say to anybody, you know, okay, so which approach is most likely to keep you watching? And I think it depends on the user. Because it like Bob says, let's see, Up Next doesn't tell you what to watch. It shows the next episode of what you're currently watching. Plus, when a new season starts, it shows the first episode so you don't forget. And that is definitely one approach to it. But another approach is, let's show you the hot new show from, you know, on Apple TV, or the hot new movie from Tom Hanks, or you know, whatever that's on Apple TV. I can't get excited over either one, because I understand both approaches. And I think it really does depend on, you know, how, just God, Patrice, just like so much technology, it depends on how you use it and what you want it to do. And then figure out, you know, the only thing I would say is, if it would be great if they could let you configure it, so that if you care that much, if you're either that annoyed with it, or you really love the feature the way it is over here, let me make a choice.
Yeah. I mean, I think configuring it, while it's not a very Apple thing to do, I mean, it's not that they don't do configurations, but they kind of have to be forced to do them sometimes. I think my feeling is it's a little bit of both. And I think that's why this works. Because if it's showing Up Next and featured content, then you can decide which one you're interested in. And that might actually change, like, depending on situation. Like, sometimes you're like, okay, I want to watch the new episode of one of my favorite shows. I go to Up Next, it's there, I watch it. And other times you're like, okay, I want to watch something, but I don't know yet what I want to watch. And then you might be interested and tempted by that featured content to say, hey, I mean, this movie actually sounds quite interesting. Maybe I'll watch it. Or you see it and you're like, oh, I'll add it to Up Next and I'll watch it some later time. So I think it really depends a little bit on, like, what you're looking for in a particular situation.
Yeah, agreed. It's one of those things that, you know, now Bob said in the chat room that he thinks that you can configure it in settings that he's checking.
Okay, that would be interesting.
You know, if that's the case, then problem solved. You know, it's just a matter. But the problem is, you know, that you need to know that you can change it. So now we have a discoverability of features as well as a discoverability of content issue.
I mean, who's gonna even think about, oh, I can go to settings and change the home screen or the TV app in this case? Like that.
Yeah,
that's people like us maybe who might think, yeah, hey, this is annoying. Let's see if there's a setting.
Right. Yeah. It's a real problem. Yeah, because I find out about new shows that I will add to my list on whatever service it is, you know, just almost by happenstance, because there's no easy way or good way. And each streaming service wants to keep you within their ecosystem, so they aren't cross promoting. And, you know, which again makes perfect sense. If I were running a streaming service, I would too. So
I think there are two approaches to that. There is the Netflix model. Everything should be a Netflix and everybody should stay on Netflix all the time. And then there is the, I would say, I think Paramount, Hulu, they're quite good at saying, okay, like we have the shows that people are interested in. And like, if they want to watch something else, that's fine, because they will come back for our stuff. We know that. So they're okay with integrating with the TV app, for example, which honestly, I think Apple was maybe a little early, but was quite smart in doing that, like that integration. Because we're getting to the point, I mean, we just talked about it. We have no clue where, like, we have our favorite shows. But if I ask you, like, The Boys, what service is that on? You would probably have to think about it. I mean, now we talked about it. We know it's on Amazon. But we would probably have to think about it. Like, which app was that now? Where do I have to go for which show? And that's becoming more and more a problem. Like, how do you even find all the content? Like, you have to basically check all your apps to see, oh, I have to watch this one here, and then I go to this, and I have this show here. Like, you're constantly switching between the apps to find the things that you want to watch.
Right. But the thing about Netflix, what you said about, you know, everything should be on Netflix and everybody should stay on Netflix, that's great, except that stuff keeps moving off of Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if it was there and they were just adding to it, and things that I watched, you know, 2 months, 2 weeks, 2 years ago are still there, if I want to go back and watch them, that's going to keep me there. But, you know, there's one site that constantly runs, you know, what's new on Netflix this month, or what's leaving Netflix this month. And it's like, the leaving ones are always interesting because, okay, so I know why they're leaving. The contract ran out, but the point is that they're leaving. It's they're no longer there.
Well, the contract ran out, or Netflix decided that they don't want to pay for it anymore. It might not be the content provider pulling it or something, or not like extending the contract. It might literally just be Netflix saying, "Well, we don't care. Like, we've had it. People have watched it. Nobody wants it anymore. You can keep it."
Yeah. Well, and to your point too, Paramount has become, you know, the Star Trek network. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to see the newest episodes of the new Star Trek series, that's where you got to go.
Yeah. Except I have so many shows on Paramount.
Well, yeah, but Prodigy, Star Trek Prodigy is on Nickelodeon, I believe, if memory serves.
No, it's also on it's on Paramount.
Is it on Paramount?
Okay. Yeah, it's also on Paramount Plus. Okay. It might also be on Nickelodeon, but it is on Paramount Plus.
Okay, so I'm confused.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's just exactly the point. There is, I think, too many options, too many apps, too many services. And it's getting, the shows are good, but it's getting harder and harder to figure out where you have to go. And that's why this TV app is so important. And I wish it was, I wish it was working better. And I'm very happy that Apple is changing it, and that shows that they're doing something with it. Because I wasn't so sure they were doing anything with it, other than adding Apple TV Plus to it. Like, throwing more content into it, but not really fixing anything. It isn't working all that great, to be honest. But it's right now, for me at least, the only place I can go to see all the shows in one screen, and then decide what I want to watch.
Yeah, I don't know how many of the folks out there remember TiVo, which it doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but I guess it was, where you told TiVo that this is the program I want to watch, and it didn't matter what time of day or what channel it was on. TiVo would pull it out of its catalog and record it for you, so you could watch it at your convenience.
And you had one interface you would go to, and you had everything.
Yep, you had one interface, and we've seen a couple websites out there try to be that.
Yeah.
That maybe it can't program a DVR or record it for you, but at least it could tell you what's where. But I haven't come across one, and I'd love to hear from anybody that has one that really covers all the services. And I mean, I think it's TV Time does a fair job of it.
Yeah. There's also, what was it? Rewatch, I think. Something. There's definitely Plex. So Plex is definitely going into that space. They're saying, we're kind of the TV app for everybody. Doing the same thing, but not integrating with the other apps, simply just showing to you, okay, you say I have these services, and it tells you, hey, it is on Paramount available, or it is on Netflix available, whatever.
So if I take what you just said literally, that's great for telling me what's on the services I have. But if something is on a service I don't have, you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know.
Right. And that's where the problem comes in. So, or do I just tell it I have all the services?
Well, you could do that. I mean, you can always search for, I've tried that. Like, you can always search for a show, and it will tell you it is not on any service that you have, but it is on this service. So it does tell you that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, but it's very early. It's in beta. So, that's kind of a starting point. But it's also what the TV app should be. And unfortunately, Netflix, for example, opted out and said, no, we do not share that content with the TV app. So you don't get it.
Well, I don't know if you agree, Patrice, but to me, that's their loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Why wouldn't you let everybody find all your shows, where whatever app or wherever they happen to be? Because they're still going to have to come to your service to watch it.
They still have to pay for your service. Yeah,
exactly. So what's wrong with you, Netflix?
Yeah, is that? But it comes from that mindset of everything should be on Netflix, and then you'd never have to go anywhere else. It's kind of, and then they control. I mean, it's also, I think, a little bit about control. They control everything.
Apple never controls anything.
Not with the TV app.
Not with the TV app.
Not with the TV app. There is a new, there's another change coming in iOS 16.2, this time to the weather app. And I thought that was quite interesting because now you get news, weather-related news, within the weather app. Not sure that's something I was looking forward to, because, I mean, what kind of news would you get there? It's usually like hurricanes, stuff like that. So not sure that's the most positive news that I would expect there. Yeah, I don't know, Chuck. Is that something you were looking for in the weather app?
I wasn't necessarily looking for it, but I will say that, okay, if I happen to live in Florida and, you know, we know there's a tropical depression or a hurricane approaching, that it might be very useful for me to have not just the, okay, it's going to be, you know, whatever temperature it's going to be this afternoon and I can expect rain. It might be useful to know that, you know, in a day and a half, there's something significant coming. And it just, you know, wiped out Bermuda and it's on its way to my doorstep. Mm. So, you know, I kind of have mixed feelings about this. I think in practice, it'll be interesting to see what they decide to feed over to it. But I can actually see this being a genuine value add as opposed to just shoving content at you.
I mean, it's exposing the content that's already out there, but in a relevant context. And I think that makes sense. It, by the way, at least the article says it does disappear when there's a weather alert. So when the space is needed for something more important, like a weather alert, it disappears because you need that space, kind of, especially on a phone, I think. So, yeah.
So in a way, it's almost curating news into a category within the app. Just so if I'm interested in weather, I'm probably going to be interested in weather stories.
Yeah. I mean, what they did, I think 2 years ago or something like that with the Stocks app, where I think that was the first Swift UI app that was it, or Catalyst, I don't remember. But like they basically said, now we can expose then like the relevant news for that particular stock that you're looking at in the news app. In the Stocks app. So I think it's the same idea, just applied across the board.
Yeah, and I've used that in the Stocks app to see what the latest news is for companies I follow. So, you know, again, it's stories like this I can't get excited about. The one thing I do wonder about though, let's say that I live in Oregon, you know, and am I going to see Florida hurricane news? Or part of Florida hurricane stories, or if I live in Hawaii, am I going to see those? Or is it going to parse it out based on location? I would hope it'll parse it out based on location.
According to the story, it does parse it out based on your city. So it would show relevant local content, which also means it will not always show up. Like if there is nothing relevant happening locally, if you're, I don't know, somewhere in the Midwest and nothing is happening, because you're far away from any kind of hurricane and tornado season isn't on, then there might be nothing that's happening and you will not see it. So it's only happening if there is something it could show you.
Well, then to your point, just like the Stocks app, you know, if something is happening relevant to Apple, but I'm not following the Apple stock price, then okay, it's hidden from me or just not included, as opposed to, you know, if Freeport McMoRan, you know, has, you know, some kind of major crisis, I'll see that in my Stocks app, but I won't see something that happened to Netflix.
Good story. Then there was another announcement. As I said, there's a lot of small stuff, so we're whipping through that. There were two holiday-related announcements. The first one is that the extended return period for Apple purchases is in effect. So if you're buying something on the Apple online store, especially, I'm guessing it would also be true for the standard Apple store, you can, from basically today onwards, between today and December 25th, if you buy something there, you can return it through January 8th. So if you're buying a gift now for, I don't know, a spouse, a friend, a kid, whatever, and turns out it's not what they wanted, you have the chance to return it. It is valid in the UK, Australia, and select other countries like Italy, Spain, Japan. Not Germany, Austria, because... Yeah. Germany, Austria. So that's happening, is it? That's the same thing as every year. In addition to that, Apple also launched the holiday gift guide, which yeah, it's like, I don't know what you call it. Like it's a gift guide.
Yeah. Of Apple products. Yeah.
It's a gift guide of Apple products. Like it's just saying, okay, like what is new? What could you give? Like for sure, yes, buy an iPhone 14 for your kids, because that's what they want, right?
You know, I people laugh about these, but you know, it's surprising how many people we're you, me, you know, everybody on the Mac Show panel, and probably pretty much all the listeners, you know, live and breathe the Apple stuff, and so we know everything that's out there. But you know, if you have a grandparent who's looking to get their grandkid something and they really don't understand, you know, the M1 versus M2 or MacBook Pro versus MacBook Air or the many flavors of the iPad, you know, this might be a very approachable way to say, oh, okay, this makes sense. Let's get them this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so sure, it's advertising, it's self-promotion. Yeah. I still think it's useful.
Oh, for sure is. I mean, if you, I mean, for us, it's probably not super useful, because I mean, we know, we talk about Apple products all year. We know them intimately. If we think we want to gift an Apple product to someone, we don't need a website for it, because we know exactly what each product is. But if you think about whatever, like a grandparent who, like, I don't know, they have a grandchild who says, I want an iPhone, and they don't know exactly what to get, and they don't have anybody to ask, because that would probably be the first choice. Such a website is quite helpful to say, hey, here are options for gifts, and here is what we recommend. And I mean, Apple is not just providing a website, they're also providing personalized shopping support, like in stores. If you go into a store and say, I want to gift my grandchild an iPhone, which one should I get? They will tell you, okay, like how old is that kid and stuff like that, and then maybe make a good recommendation, saying like maybe don't get the really expensive 14 Pro Max, maybe go with an SE, or I don't know, a 13 or 12 or something. I don't know. Do they even sell 12 still?
I don't know. Have to look. I don't know.
I would have to look. Like we just talked about knowing intimately what they sell, and then we don't know whether they sold it well.
Yeah, but be fair. We're intimately familiar with the high end stuff.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, we would know the 14 and the 14 Pro Max, the new stuff. Yeah. But like the older models, I mean, yes, you know, but the older models not necessarily, because it's not usually what we look at. So yeah, it totally makes sense. There is I don't know, like there is another thing that Apple announced in that gift package. I don't know. The gift wrapped it. I don't want to call it. There is a new like a musical comedy coming in. Actually, when is that starting? Later this month, it says. Starring Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell, which you might know. It's called Spirited. It's a musical comedy. So yeah, it's like classical carols, and yeah, it's quite nice. They also tied it into Apple Music, of course, so like you get a lot of related content on Apple Music. So if you want to finally get into the holiday spirit, now is the time, or end of the month is the time.
Yeah, it's, I mean, again, you know, we know all the stuff except for the low end stuff. But you know, go to check it out. I did want to mention too that I think one thing, when you start seeing the extended holiday return period, that puts an end to all the discussion about whether we're going to see any additional Apple mm-hmm. hardware releases between now and the end of the year. I mean, because that just, why would they release something that people who bought could return what they bought and you know, then buy the new one? So yeah. I think we're now definitely locked in as mm-hmm. to this is what we're going to see, and forget any of the rumors that you see to the contrary.
Yeah, I mean, Apple even said during the earnings call, this, I mean, it wasn't super clear, but they said their holiday lineup is set.
Right.
I mean, you could interpret that and say, oh, like they have said it, but they still want to release something. Like it's set, it's going to be released. But I think most people took it like Apple probably meant it. Okay, this is it. Everything else is coming next year.
Yeah. And if you needed confirmation, here it is.
Yeah,
you know, so
exactly.
Now you can figure on late January at the earliest for any new Apple hardware after the return period.
After the return period. There is one last story that I wanted to talk about. And that is Apple, well, someone at Apple making a quite quite big gift to like himself and some other people that worked with them. It just wasn't the kind of gift that Apple liked or that is legal. Someone admitted, a former employee admitted to stealing about $17 million worth of stuff from Apple. So as I said, it was a gift to themselves. There was like, I think, two or three people involved, or at least they think they have two, I think, have admitted to it. And there's a third that they suspect. I think something like that was the story. But basically over 10 years, between 2008 and 2018, that person in California was in the global service supply chain department, buying parts and services for Apple from vendors. So purchasing stuff. And basically what happened is he had motherboards shipped from Apple's inventory to the other person's company. That company would then take them apart and then sell the chips back to Apple. And obviously invoice for that. And through that, yeah, the two split the funds from the arrangement and made some, I mean, till now, nice money, but obviously that couldn't last. Good thing it couldn't last because, I mean, that's a lot of money and that's illegal. And yeah, we'll see what happens. But they've, I think, both admitted to it. So,
yeah, and from the description in the story, it looks like, you know, there were, I mean, they even set up a shell company to send the invoices, and you know, and it just, you know, it clearly was intentional and
yep.
sophisticatedly intentional, and that's really, really ugly.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what made it, I mean, like a worthy headline, and also like something that like the Justice Department in Northern California really looked into, because like it's not someone accidentally shipped something or whatever. No, like, I mean, like shell companies and everything like that. That is a level of sophistication that is not like a common criminal. What is not criminal? That's a transition. Is our sponsor TSO Host?
Okay, thank that you,
was
Jeff
a, that was a rough one.
No, that was good. I like it.
No, TSO Host definitely not criminal. I mean, it's so good. It should be criminal, but no, they're really good. It's a really good hosting company, and we've been with them for a couple of years. Like everything you're seeing, the British Tech Network website, the live streams, the chat, like everything you're seeing is on a TSO Host servers, on two servers. They've been rock solid. We've had zero issues, like no downtimes, no weird network issues, no outages, no nothing. Like I haven't needed to support even once. So they're just a really great company, and they've been super supportive. If we ever needed anything, they've helped us out. And all they wanted from us was for you to give them some brand recognition. And I would ask you to do that, please. Like, just head over to your favorite social media of choice, like Twitter, Facebook, I think the big ones. They might be on Instagram, I haven't checked. But they're definitely on Twitter and Facebook. And just give them a shout out and say, hey, thank you at TSO Host, or thank you TSO Host for supporting the British Tech Network. And that's all they want. But if you are in the market, if you are looking for awesome hosting for like domain names, for like they have WordPress packages. If you're not into like all the server stuff, you just want the website and you think, oh yeah, I mean, WordPress is quite good. They offer that as a package, so you don't have to manage that. If you need anything like that, just head over to TSO Host and yeah. Have a look. They're a really great company. And the best thing is, if you use the offer code BTN20, you get 20% off of that. So on top of supporting us and on top of like offering just really good service, you even get 20% off. I think, isn't that awesome? It should be criminal, right?
Well, I'm not ready to say that because I'm afraid we'll get in trouble.
But, No. They're really good. Yeah. Like, I'm kidding.
Yeah. And if you have a website host that is not delivering the kind of support the TSO host does, you need to switch.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of us, you know, we've looked at things in the past and said, oh, that looks good. And then you set it up and then you find out just how bad it is when your site goes down and you can't get anybody to help you get it back up, or you can't even get them to answer the support calls. That's not a good thing if you care at all about your website. So
no. And I've seen, like I said, we have not needed it ourselves, but I've seen people on Twitter, for example, interact with TSO host and ask questions where they were like, something wasn't working or they weren't sure how to do something. And they were super responsive and like just really good support and friendly and everything, like everything you would want from a hosting company. That's what they are. So yeah, if you really need their help, they're there. And I think that's equally important. You have that. What is also important is our live chat. So when we stream this every week live at 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, by the way, also Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the Big Show. If you're into that non-Apple tech story life, whatever that is, space, for example, we talk about space. We talk about, I don't know, the other week we talked about makeup, I think. So not sure how that tied into tech. It was just the beginning. Don't worry. We talk about tech. It's a good show. Go watch that. But like, you can just join the live chat and talk to us. Like, watch it live. Talk to us like Bob Beach is doing it. And all you have to do is head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com. And that's it. You're in. Easy as that. You can talk to us live. But let's say you're listening to us after the fact, like in your favorite podcast a podcast player of choice. That's what a podcast is for. Let's face it. It's totally fine. I do that all the time. You can, and you're thinking, like, all those articles and the cool things that are coming up. Like, I want to know. I want to know what they talked about. I want to see what Bob Beach said. I want to see what Chuck said in the chat. I want to like click. I want to find the link for the article that we just talked about the Apple holiday gift guide. You can get to all of that. All you have to do is head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a calendar that pops up and you have to select today's date, which is the 4th of November, 2022. And that's it. That's how easy that is. You're in, you can see everything. Obviously, you can't live chat with us because that would be time travel. If you figure that out, hey, let me know. I got a couple of things that I would like to do. But yeah, usually that's not how it works. So Chuck, time for the cool thing. What do you have for us today?
Time for the cool thing. Okay, I actually brought show and tell.
Nice.
Let me pop this into the chat room. This is an Anchor 3.0 USB 3.0 hub.
Mm-hmm.
So it, let's be fair about it. You know, it has the old style. It does not, it doesn't have the USB-C connectors, but of course you can buy, you know, the little adapter for, you know, almost nothing and add that to it. And I love this for a couple reasons. First of all, the cord is 2 feet long. So
that is quite
if you
long.
Yeah, so if you're using it at a desk, you know, I can plug this into my Mac and then have anything that's connected to it way over there away from me. It's not like everything's huddled around me. But also, if four different ports from, you know, from one. So if you have a lot of legacy devices, which, you know, which one of us don't have legacy devices, you know, storage devices, drives, cameras, microphones, you know, whatever else you want to plug in, and you like to have that stuff plugged in or need to have it plugged in all at once, this is where you can, the way you can do it. It's from Anchor, so you know it's going to be good, and it costs a grand total of $20 US. So that's kind of hard to beat for, you know, four ports.
Mm-hmm.
I'm I haven't tried to put a lot of things that require a whole lot of power draw through this. That could become a little bit of an issue. I say could because I have not tested it. But, you know, check it out because, again, it's very seldom you're going to have that many things that you're going to want to utilize. But if you need it, it's here and it's super affordable.
That looks actually quite helpful, especially when you still have like old school USB devices. Actually, I might get one of them.
I've got an embarrassing number of old school USB devices around here that you know you're really not ready to trash yet. Obviously,
no, so. And you shouldn't. Like if they're working, like why would you do that?
Yeah, exactly. So for $20, you can have them all online, but a little bit away from you. And of course, for travel, it's perfect too for the very same reason.
It's like I mean especially when you have like one like I don't know your like some hotel rooms have them where they have like that one USB plug that you can plug in to charge if you're like if that's something you want to do. I usually bring my own chargers, I don't, but if you don't want to do that, that thing might actually solve that for you. You could plug in multiple devices and still charge them. Might not be super fast, but should work.
Right. And, you know, the other thing, too, is don't forget that if you're a keyboard user and a wired mouse user, I mean, that takes up two ports in your Mac.
Oh, that's true.
And, you know, so here you plug in one and not only can you plug both those in, so you've saved one port, but you still have two ports left over on the hub itself to plug in other things.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know, there are a lot of different things you can do with this. And again, for $20, I mean, why wouldn't you throw it in your backpack or, you know, messenger bag or whatever it is you use to walk your computer around and make sure you have that capability.
Yeah. And I mean, Anchor is a good company. It's like when I said it yesterday because I picked yesterday, like a USB charging, thing, like one of the, actually have it here 1 second. It's not my cool thing today, but that's what I picked yesterday on the Mac show. It's not from Anchor, but it's from Satechi. But it's the same thing I said. Like I usually either go with Anchor or Satechi for any kind of cable, any kind of USB device, because I just know they're good. And it just depends on what's available and what they have to offer currently, whether I go with one or the other.
Yeah.
$12.99 UK, by the way, set.
Yeah. By Bob Beach. Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's super affordable on both sides of the pond. Go out and add it to your collection.
Yeah. So my cool thing is something that is this week especially appropriate. So I don't know. It might or it might not be, because some people might like leave Twitter, especially with all the things happening right now, like Elon Musk and all of that. But there is like, I've been a big fan of alternative, like third-party Twitter clients. I don't like, I used the Twitter client for like a year or two. It's fine. It does the job. It's not the best app. And I've tried Tweetbot. I've tried Twitterific. I've tried, what was the other one? There was a third one.
TweetDeck.
Yeah, exactly. I've tried them all. And then like, I don't know how and where I found Spring. Not the best name, I would say, for a Twitter client, Spring. But it's, in like from my perspective, really, really good Twitter client. I actually prefer it over Tweetbot, which was my kind of second choice. I mean, it does everything a Twitter client would do, like showing tweets, allowing you to retweet and like and all of that, having mute lists, like everything you want. I couldn't even tell you what I liked more about this one. It's just the way it's configurable. Like you can configure how you want to, like how exactly the tweet should look like. You have some configuration options for that. So you can say like, should the text be smaller, bigger? Do I want the icons or not? Like all of that. They have quite a few configuration options. You can even like the tab bar at the bottom, you can decide which ones you want to, like which options you want to see. Do you need your profile? Do you want to private messages? Do you want, I don't know, retweets, statistics? Like what do you want to see there? Like it gives you options to change that. So it's just a very versatile, very configurable Twitter client. And they just came out with a new version 4, which has some yeah, some cool new like configuration options mostly. Like you can now set a like an accent color, you can like create your own theme, you can customize your fonts, you can have notes for users and so on and so on. Like it's just it's a really good client. It's available on iPhone, iPad, and Mac. It is not a free app. So that's also something that I actually liked very much. I like to pay for things, and the freemium model, or the like, you like, I don't know, you have to subscribe for it or whatever. I like subscriptions, but not for everything. And the Twitter client is not one of those things where I want to subscribe to a Twitter client. So the purchase is universal. I think you buy it once. It's $11.99 US. And then you have it across all your platforms. So really solid, really nice Twitter client, highly recommended. I've seen it in surprisingly, like I've seen it all over Twitter. Seems to be very popular, especially with like the Mac Stories crowd. I think it might be where I found it. So if you're in the market, if you're still on Twitter, if you still want that, and you don't want the Twitter client, give it a try.
Yeah, somebody called my attention to this, I guess in the last week or so, and I have not had a chance. It's been a crazy week, mm-hmm. but I have not had a chance. But there is a trial Spring yes. Lite. It's a trial version. So if you want to get a taste of it, mm-hmm. because we all know that people, you know, look at $11.99 for an app. Oh my God. You know, so if you're a little hesitant, you know, don't overlook it. Give the trial version a shot. And if you like it, then by all means, buy it and support the developer. Because from what I've seen, and I've heard exactly the same thing you've just said, Patrice, Tweetbot has been my Twitter client. And everybody says it's better than Tweetbot. So I'm looking forward to playing with it and finding out if I'm mm-hmm. going to switch or not.
Yeah, that's it. Give it a try. Trial version is obviously free. It's called Spring Lite for Twitter. Like I put the link also in if you want to try that. Okay, that concludes our short but mighty show. A lot of articles that we went through. Thank you so much, Chuck, for doing this with me, this special edition of the Mac Show, right? This must be a special edition.
Oh, we're here, of course.
Yeah, see? let the good people know where they can find out more about you.
MacVoices.com is where you're going to link to everything that I want to show you. That includes interviews, panel discussions. We do Mac Voices live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Patrice has been on, mm-hmm. and a lot of the people you've seen here on the Mac Show have been on as well. We'd love to have you join us in the chat room at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And also, we are in the process of doing among our all the other usual Mac Voices content, we're doing our holiday gift guides. So if you couldn't find what you wanted, or you're looking for some offbeat things that maybe Apple is not going to show you, believe me, these panels will show you a lot of offbeat things.
Yeah.
But they're all good, and plus the shows are just a lot of fun because there's always a lot of jousting and joking and mm-hmm. evaluating each other's picks. So check mm-hmm. those out as well.
Yeah, it's always one of the favorites of the year for me. The holiday gift guide, much better than a website from Apple. Like just.
Well, I'm not going to go that far, but it's just a whole different thing. And of course, on the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner or at Mac Voices.
Yeah,
Patrice, I kind of like this one-on-one thing. This me is too. A little bit different. Yeah,
it's definitely very different. I mean, I get to talk more, so there's that. And yeah. I will be on Mac Voices Live again. I think there is a public holiday coming up early December, like first week, I think so. On a Wednesday. Great. So I'll join you.
Terrific.
Yay. You can find me every week here on the Mac Show on Fridays, also on the Big Show on Thursdays, as I mentioned before. You can find out everything I'm doing, all the projects, podcast, all the different social media accounts that I have. You can buy me a coffee, all of that on thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really cool people talk about food, food-related stories and memories, I have an interview show called Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com. Thank you so much, Chuck, for doing this with me. Thank you to Bob Beach in the chat room for talking to us and entertaining us and like feeding us all the actual facts. Like it's really funny. Like we have no clue what we're talking about, and then we have the chat room providing us with the facts. That's the best thing. Thanks to everybody listening, also after the fact in your podcast players. Thank you to Murat Maiker for wrangling the herds and getting people on. Didn't work out all that well today. But sometimes, I mean, people are just busy. It's like that's life and it's totally fine. Thanks, Ewan, for still letting us do that. I want to remind you that we still have the news show. It is not a daily news show anymore, not in the traditional sense, because we've unfortunately run a little short on money. We've mentioned that last couple of weeks, months, that we were struggling there a little bit. Kyle is a professional. He's a professional voice actor. He does like I think sports content and movies and other stuff, as far as I know. And he's been doing for the last I think 13 years or something close to that, the daily news show for us as a professional, and he gets paid for that, and he should be. Because it is really great work if you've listened to it and you know it's, I mean, he does a really good news show that lasts exactly 5 minutes. And that is a skill to get the content across and get a lot of content across and that in 5 minutes. I mean, if we do an entire show in like an hour, and he does that in 5 minutes and he does it every day. So unfortunately, we're running a little short. I think we're at roughly $200 right now a month. Thank you for everybody who is supporting it. And supporting the new show. We're really thankful for that. We're happy that we can at least some way continue with that for the time being. But I mean, it's not a daily news show anymore, and we would really like to get back to that. That means we would have to almost double the amount that we have right now. It's $385 that we need to pay Kyle to do it 5 days a week. So right now he's doing it Tuesdays and Thursdays. So there was one yesterday, and then next week he also, by the way, posts the Mac Show and the Big Show for us. He takes care of that. And hopefully we can very soon get back to that, because otherwise I think at some point it will die. And that would be a pity. My personal opinion is it's one of the best, if not the best, news shows, like tech news shows, daily tech news shows, I should say, like on the planet. You might disagree with that, but I listen to a lot of them, like Mac OS X and like NPR News and all of them. I prefer Kyle. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm biased. So if you can support that, head over to britishtechnetwork.com. There's links all over the website. Give what you can. If it's like the typical coffee every month, like the $5. That would already help us. If only a fraction of the people who listen to these shows and listen to the news show, if only a fraction of those people support us, that would already be enough. And thank you, as I said, to everybody who has been supporting it for the last 13 years. And with that, we're going to end this show. Thank you so much for listening. And hopefully, we'll see. We'll be back next week.